You're listening to the Hamilton Today podcast from 900 CHML.
All right. As we know, the big NATO meetings are going on. All the leaders are there. And good news today that NATO has welcomed Sweden into the realm. However, the Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is very upset that there is no timetable for his country's membership into NATO, which is, remember when this all started, it wasn't about joining NATO. And now, of course, the Russian invasion being what it is, obviously those countries that weren't even involved in NATO before are asking to join. But obviously when one NATO country gets attacked, everybody joins in. If Ukraine is accepted into NATO at this point, it literally turns the Russian invasion into World War III. Therefore, many NATO members wanting that conflict resolved before Ukraine being let in. To talk about all of this and what it means moving forward, Arl Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, and with us now. Arl, thanks for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
Your thoughts at what happened today, surprise Sweden's in, and that Vladimir Zelensky is upset there's no timeline here.
It was a day when considerable progress had been made, but there were also disappointments. Now, Sweden is on the verge of getting in. We have to be very careful because we are dealing with Recep Erdogan, the Turkish dictator, who is a master at manipulating other countries in NATO, as well as extracting the maximum number of concessions. And so the next step is that he has agreed to, in a sudden shift in position, to take the membership of Sweden to the Turkish parliament. There shouldn't be a problem, but he is someone who can change his mind so quickly that I would be cautious until we have the actual signing of that accession where the parliament of Turkey has ratified it. Hungary said that they will go along as well because the Hungarian prime minister had also not been in favor of Sweden joining. But it seems very, very close. And I think there is a lot to celebrate in that very likely accession. Now, in the case of Ukraine, there has been disappointment because what President Zelensky had said was they want to see a NATO that does not hesitate. In short, what he wants to get from NATO is a timeline. He appreciates that it's not possible for NATO to have Ukraine joined right now, because then they would need to invoke Article 5, which would mean that they would be in a fight against Russia. I don't know if that would necessarily mean a third world war, because Russia is not a superpower. And I think the nuclear threat that they're making is largely empty. Putin is not someone who wishes to commit suicide. This is a man who wears $400 Brioni shirts, and when he exercises, wears a $2,500 Loro Piana silk and cashmere tracksuit. These are not the kind of people who are willing to have an all-out nuclear war where humanity, or at least the populations in the countries affected in that war directly, would be devastated. But this is not what Zelensky expects. But a timeline means that Russia would not have a veto. It means that Ukraine's membership will not be negotiated with Russia. And I think this is what Ukraine wants to make sure, that they are grateful for the help that NATO has given them, and NATO has offered more help. They are creating a NATO-Ukraine council where they say Ukraine would sit as an equal, and that would be basically bringing Ukraine into the antechamber of NATO. But then, you know, there was a NATO-Russia council as well, where Russia did not take full advantage of it, but it had the possibility of blocking some things. So this is a tricky kind of development that can cut both ways.
Would the timeline that Zelensky is suggesting, would that help force Putin's hand? In other words, we've talked about this just dragging on and dragging on and dragging on forever, with just destruction after destruction. If they put a timeline on it, I don't know, say 1 year from now, then Ukraine will start the discussions to come into NATO. Can Putin interpret that as if we don't get something done by the end of the year, then obviously we're going to have bigger fish to fry here. How does Putin feel about all of this?
Well, he has made all sorts of threats, but he made these threats versus Finland, which is now a member of NATO and has an 830-mile border with Russia. And Sweden is very likely to get in now that Turkey has switched the approach that they were taking for several months. And so he has to live with that. And it's amazing how he can rationalize things away. I mean, look at the way he's trying to rationalize away that insurrection that was led by Prigozhin. He's trying to make that sound like a chance for unity. The Wagner troops are loyal. He had a meeting, supposedly, with Prigozhin, where Prigozhin said, well, this was not meant to be against Vladimir Putin. So Vladimir Putin's ability to manipulate the Russian media and to rationalize away setbacks is quite remarkable. And he is throwing everything he's got at Ukraine. So it's not as if, if NATO says that we are going to bring Ukraine in, this will make him really angry and is really going to bomb Ukraine. Short of nuclear weapons, there's nothing that he's held back on.
So is it just a matter of time before Ukraine joins NATO?
This is what we don't know, that the declaration is that Ukraine will be in NATO. But then, of course, this was said back in 2008 at the Bucharest conference. So one can appreciate the nervousness of the Ukrainian president and of the Ukrainian leadership, and also the Baltic states. The leader of Lithuania made it very clear that he was not happy with this decision in NATO. And so they don't want any possibility that somehow under weak leadership from United States and Germany, which sadly has often been the case, Ukraine, even if it begins to win more of its territory back in a major way, will be forced into a position where Russia has to be appeased. And the West has said, we are not going to allow Russia to have a veto. Well, if Russia is not going to have a veto, it's reasonable for Zelensky to ask in that case, why do you not give us a timeline?
At the end of the day, two countries that weren't going to be joining NATO are joining NATO, Ukraine perhaps in the future and such. This all started because Putin was worried NATO countries were invading him. How can you keep claiming victory here when more countries are joining NATO?
You have to be remarkably creative in the case of Putin, because if you look at this objectively, any rational planner, strategist in the Kremlin would view this as a nightmare situation.
Yeah.
Now they have a much longer front already with Russia, with NATO because of Finland. Sweden joins. That's going to be a powerful country with a great deal of military potential and very high-level technology. They build terrific and very sophisticated fighter aircraft, and they have the capacity to also produce submarines and other large-scale weapons systems. Russia is under the kind of set of sanctions, which is not brought to its knees, but it is eroding away at the Russian economy. Ukraine now will never want to be part of the Russian, or a Russian empire, because despite the fact that Vladimir Putin has claimed that there are no independent Ukrainian people, there's no such thing as a Ukrainian nationality, even if this had been true before the war, and it wasn't, it certainly is not correct right now. There's very much a Ukrainian identity that will not want to be subsumed into some kind of Russian identity. His relationship with China has become one where Russia is more and more of a vassal state. So it's hard to see how any Russian leader could have been more destructive to Russian interests, never mind the horrific tragedy that he's brought to Ukraine, but he has brought real disaster to Russia, but he still is in power. He may stay in power for a while.
R.L. Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto, the latest on the Russian invasion of Ukraine and NATO as well. R.L., as always, thank you so much for the time. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.